In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This wonderful and dramatic little story of Jesus calming the storm reveals that Jesus is more than a great teacher. Even the wind and the waves obey him. This story shows then Jesus' divine power. But it is also a story very much about our humanity. There are, after all, so many storms in this life that we cannot master by our own willpower or planning. There are the outward storms, the things that happen to us and around us. And then, of course, there are the inward storms, those fears and weaknesses that we cannot overcome in our own strength. And we know those inner storms only too well. We notice that the storm at sea happens overnight, and as any insomniac knows, troubles magnify at night. Anyone who has woken up at 3 a.m. and lain awake worrying knows that everything seems worse in the middle of the night. When Jesus calms the waves, he also calms the disciples' hearts. Peace is as much for the disciples as it is for the storm. Some questions arise for me as well. Why does Jesus need to be woken up to calm the storm? Is he so nonchalant that he doesn't care about the disciples' anxiety? Is it a test of their faith? Does Jesus have to be awake to exercise divine power, or would the storm have passed safely anyway if he had remained asleep? Maybe the most important thing is that in Scripture, the ability to sleep peacefully is a sign of absolute trust in God. Jesus is able to sleep during the storm, and the disciples are not. The early church saw the boat as a metaphor for their own community, their own experience being buffeted about by the secular storms of their age. So that to them, the storm represents the trials of the faithful, like a Saint Columba being set adrift on the open water, banished from his native island, placed on the sea in a tiny little boat, a coracle. The boat on a stormy sea can be a metaphor for any persecuted community, LGBT communities we think of, or perhaps the Rohingya in Myanmar, immigrants arriving in our country today, and the untold suffering of children who are separated from their families. The Jewish peoples at many times in their history. The little boat on the stormy sea may feel at times like a metaphor for our own lives. Life sometimes throws perfect storms at us. I grew up with the saying, troubles come in threes. Perhaps you know that saying as well. And there's a reason that we speak of waves of grief. We're just dealing with one thing and another shocker comes. We're just getting over that and then something else happens. And we are left reeling, disoriented. There is an old Breton sailor's prayer which John F. Kennedy had on his desk when he was president. It's actually also the motto of the Children's Defense Fund in former times. And I think it's a cry that we can all relate to. O Lord, your sea is so wide, and my boat is so small. O Lord, your sea is so wide, and my boat is so small. As the storm swirls, the disciples' first thought, even before, wake up, Jesus, even before that, is remembering. They have already seen Jesus heal many people with incurable diseases. The disciples remember, and they know that Jesus can help them and steady them. That is the first thing in the storms of life. We remember who to turn to. We don't throw out our faith when the storms come. We cling to it. It is the life raft. We remember Jesus. We call on Jesus. And it doesn't have to be polite. In the Hebrew scriptures, from the beginning, God's people are not shy about complaining, loudly and often. Centuries earlier, in the book of Jonah, you remember how the sailors are caught in a storm at sea with Jonah on board, and they throw Jonah overboard because they think Jonah is the problem and that God is angry. And by throwing Jonah overboard, they will appease God and calm the storm down. Well, by this time in God's relationship, by Jesus' time in God's relationship with humanity, the disciples know that this is not what God wants. They do not need to throw St. Peter overboard as a sacrifice to appease an angry God. The disciples understand that the storm is not God's punishment. Rather, God is with them in the storm, as God is with us in ours. After calming the storm and the disciples' hearts, Jesus connects fear with lack of faith. "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" Jesus says to them. Is this your experience, that faith automatically calms all fears? It certainly isn't mine. And I don't think it's the human experience. Faith gives a bigger picture to our storms, but it doesn't resolve them all. Sometimes the best that we can manage, even as people of faith, is "this too shall pass." This too shall pass. And that is a faithful response. We know that Jesus is fully human as well as fully divine. And we know that Jesus has his own moments of fear, Garden of Gethsemane moments. So I don't think that Jesus believes that faith removes all our fears, as though it's a zero-sum game. I hear Jesus saying to his disciples, "Remember what you have seen and heard. Do you still think that God is indifferent to your struggles after healing all of those sick people?" Jesus reminds us of God's power and God's care. If we believe in a watchmaker God, a divine mover who kind of winds up the universe and then goes away on sabbatical, we may not expect God to help us in time of trouble. But that is not the God of Jesus Christ. Our God cares. God may not remove the storm, but God helps us navigate it. God guides us through it. Beloved, God cares about us in the storms of our lives. God cares when we lose our health, or our job, or our beloveds. God may not resurrect any of those things or people in our earthly life, but God helps us navigate the waves. And in God's good time, God may surprise us with a new dawn, some kind of unexpected healing. God may bless us with unexpected resurrection and new joy, not only in the next life, but in this life too, even on the high seas. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.